Thank you. If you would, take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, John chapter number 6. While you're turning there, I want to mention this to you. I forgot to mention in my announcements a while ago, but I mentioned on Wednesday night, our air conditioner in the fellowship hall is on its last leg. It's not doing well. It's old. It's been around a while. And they have come and been able to find a part to get it fixed, and we have a Band-Aid on it. But I asked him to give us a price on a new one, and he did. He said, however, I must warn you that it may be 6 to 10 months before you can get it. And I said, So I told the folks Wednesday night, I think we need to go ahead and put in our order, and they'll get it ordered. And when it gets here, then, of course, we'll get it and pay for it. He said we don't owe him nothing until he puts it in. So that's a good thing. But we're going to vote on it tonight, but we need to do that. If we don't, we're liable to get stuck without it and not have any backups at all. So if you have your Bibles, John chapter number 6, begin reading verse number 37. And if you have them, I hope you'll follow along with me. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for all the Scripture, Lord, that you've given to us in order that we might know the way. And Father, today I pray that you open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to be receptive to the truth that's been set before us. I pray, Lord, that your name would be exalted, lifted up above all else. And I pray that we would listen today attentively, allow God to speak to our heart and do what needs to be done in our lives. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. There was a village called Aberfan in Wales, and it was a coal mining town. And of course, there, like many other villages in the area, everything they did revolved around the coal mine. And normally, when they were coal mining, they would bring slag out of the mine. And in doing that, they would stack it up in a pile, and they had it coming out on a conveyor belt. And most mines were very simple to do, and the stack got higher and higher. But on Monday morning, October of 1968, the children of Aberdeen, they rolled out of bed, they ate their breakfast, and they headed off to school. It was raining that morning, but nothing unusual. It had been raining several mornings prior to that. And as they were sitting in school and listening to the teacher, they heard a giant roar. And before they knew it, that whole pile of slag began to fall down. It had washed away, it gave way, washed down upon the school and covered it entirely, burying 116 children and adults in the stack. Of course, the alarm sounded. The men came out of the mine. They got the shovels out. They began to dig as fervently as they could, feverishly as they could. But yet, it was too late. When they finally got to the bodies, they were all dead. They took it. They dug an 80-inch trench, and they buried them there. And I think how sad it is, but the fact of it is today, that story is an analogy of our life. We do not know what tomorrow holds. I find in the days past with people dying and people getting hurt and even this little baby we mentioned today, it saddens my heart to know that almost any day bad news could come. It could come to me or it could come to you. How terrible that would be. We never know from one minute to the next what's going to happen. And honestly, life can change in just a moment, in a second, be turned upside down. Something as simple as a phone call, something as simple as a visit to the doctor for him to tell you that you have some incurable disease. I had a niece call me yesterday, and she's losing her eyesight, and they say there's nothing they can do. She was very desperate, and I understand. I would be desperate in the same situation. It could be a mistake on the highway, an accident that could take someone out. But a mountain of sliding slag in a little village where children work can change everything for all their lives. That's why the Bible cautions us about making assumptions about the future. Boy, isn't it easy to say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But you know, I've learned to say I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that if the Lord will. Because truly today, I can't do anything unless God wills me to do it or desires for me to do it. Or at least that's the way it ought to be in my life, that I do what he would have me to do. In Proverbs 27, verse number 1, he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14 said, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away." You know, we don't have any guarantee of another minute. We don't have a guarantee of another day, another week, another month. In fact, we just don't know how long we have. But thankfully, today, God does not deal in uncertainties. I'm glad today that He's certain about everything that He does. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And it's filled with all kind of guarantees for the life of the child of God if they live accordingly. And there's some guarantees even for lost people in the Bible, believe it or not. And His Word gives us these promise after promise brings the fact that Jesus is willing to bring them to pass if we obey and do what He would have us to do. In Romans 4:21, He said, "Being fully persuaded that what He has promised, He was able also to perform." Aren't you glad this morning that God is promised, but He has the ability to perform it? I can promise you things. I can tell you I'm going to do something for you tomorrow, but I don't have no guarantee I can do that because I may not be here tomorrow. You can tell me the certain things, but when God tells you something, believe me, you can rest assured, take it to the bank, you can count on the fact that God can bring to pass what He promised to do in your life. Most of these promises are made to God's people. This passage today before us makes several promises to the people of God and also to the lost. And I pray today that you let God speak to your heart, but I want to speak to you today on the subject of ironclad guarantees. I don't know of anybody that can give an ironclad guarantee other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we look at His Word, and that's what we're going to look at. And I pray that God would speak to your heart and you would allow God to speak to you. And if you're here today, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. What do you mean by that? Well, I hope by the time I get through, you'll understand that. But friend, the Lord wills that everybody be saved. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The first thing I want you to notice today is a guaranteed revelation. A guaranteed revelation. Look at verse 40 again, and I want to read that. I know I just did. But He said, "This is the will of Him that sent Me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up." So the first thing we notice is he said that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. So in order to be saved, first of all, you've got to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about physically. We do not see. I've never seen Him physically. But I've seen Him through the pages of the Word of God. And it's through seeing Him that I was convicted of my sin, realized my need of salvation, got saved and born again. Later in life, even as I strayed away from Him, it was seeing Him that brought me back to the place that I needed to be. Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah, he said, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." You know what he said when he saw Him? He said, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." Now again, if it did, meaning that we had to see Him physically, none of us would be saved and go to heaven. But friend, I believe today that you can see Him through the preaching of the Word of God. If you'll listen, if you'll carefully watch and listen to what I'm saying this morning, you'll understand the truths that is before us because Jesus is in the Bible. He's on, I believe, every page of the Bible. I believe from Genesis to Revelation, if you're reading your Bible through, you'll find that you'll see Jesus everywhere in all that He does and all that He will do. For us to be saved, we must see Jesus as the Son of God. I tell you today, thank God today, He's seated at the right hand of the Father today. It was His Father that sent Him to this earth to die in order that we might have salvation. The Bible said in 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now that's a powerful verse right there because basically it tells us who's lost and who's saved. A lot of times I ask people if they're saved and they say, "Well, I think I am, I hope I am." Well, that's okay for a minute, but you better know you're saved and know you're born again. How do you know that? Well, if you have the Son, you got life, but if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. You need to see Him as the sole Savior of humanity. The Bible said, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death was sin, so death passed upon all men." He said, "For that all have sinned." There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He truly is the lone and sole Savior of the human race. And today, no matter what other people say, I know there's other gods that people worship. But I tell you, there's only one God that is alive today that died on the cross and rose again. And we need to understand today who He is and where He sits and what He's doing. And what He's doing is making intercession for us. I think of that song, "Without Him, I would be lost." I tell you today, without Him, I don't know where I'd be, but I'd be in a mess. I could be in hell today if I had not seen Him one day, understood that He was my salvation and He was my Savior and the only provider for it. He's the only hope for lost sinners. The Bible said in John 8:24, "I said therefore to you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." I'm not going to elaborate there because I will a little later on in the message. But I'm going to tell you today the hope for lost sinners is if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, if you don't believe on His name, you're going to perish in your sin. You're going to spend eternity separated from God in a burning hell. And my, that's a place you don't want to go because it's a place of total darkness. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus Christ is the only person in this world and outside of this world that can save you and give you that eternal life. And I tell you today, if I didn't know Him, I'd be seeking that friend she sang about a while ago. I'd be seeking that friend in Jesus that we have. They need to see Him as the Lamb of God. The Bible said in John 1:29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith unto him, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Friend, I want you to know in the Old Testament, they took a lamb without spot, without blemish. They slew that lamb and they offered the blood for the sacrifice on the altar. But there was no power in that blood other than the power that God allowed because that's what He told them to do. But when Jesus, the Lamb of God, came into this world and went to an old rugged cross and died on that cross for your sin and for mine, believe me, He was the Lamb of God, perfect and without sin, and He died in order that we might have eternal life. And then we need to see Him as a resurrected Lord. I kind of already touched on a little bit. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. But I'm glad today that my Jesus lives. I tell you, we don't wait around here to Easter time to sing He Lives. We sing He Lives often all through the year because I'm telling you, He don't live just at Easter. He lives every day that we live. And today He's going to live beyond the days that we live. And we need to get people to see Him as the resurrected Savior. When people get a hold of who God is and what God can do and what He will do in their life, when they see Jesus for who He is, it'll make all the difference in the world, in their life, in what they do and how they live and how they act. The lost must understand the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, it's not very hard. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." What is the gospel? The gospel is that He must be received, but Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And of course, we know He's coming back again. But today, what you have to do is believe. It makes no difference how religious your parents were. That's wonderful when their parents are religious. Well, excuse me, I don't like the word religious because there's a lot of religion. But when your family is Christians and love God, it makes a big difference in your life. It can all be found in the Bible. Friend, this book has the answer to every problem that we'll ever have. It will give us everything we need to know how to live, how to act, and how to walk, and how to be faithful to God in every area of our life. The Bible is a perfect revelation of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is given to us in order that it might be revealed. In John 5:39, He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." The Word of God gives us the hope and assurance that we're saved and that we've been born again by the Spirit of God. For a person to understand and be saved, he must understand the Bible. I don't believe that he needs to understand the whole Bible. In fact, I submit to you, when a person gets saved, they know very little bit about the Bible. But if you're going to be saved, you've got to know that Jesus died for your sin. You've got to understand that you're a sinner and believe that because you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. And if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, and thank you for being here this morning. We got a fairly good crowd today, and I appreciate you coming. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is it that's going to change our life? What is it that's going to help us to live and to serve Him and be faithful to Him and help us to be saved by the grace of God? Only the testimony of God's holy Word speaking to our heart. What does the Word of God do for us? The Word of God reveals Jesus in the Spirit's work. I'm thankful today when Jesus left earth, he left the Holy Spirit. We a lot of times use that at funerals because He said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you a comforter that He may help you. But not only is He going to comfort you, but He's going to teach you and guide you into all truth. You know, somebody said, where did you go to school? Well, I went to a school called Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But I'm going to tell you something, and I appreciated it. It was a good school. It was a godly school. And I tell you, it was a big help to me. But I'm going to tell you, in my 45 years of ministry, I've learned more from this book than I ever learned from there. Now, not putting down the techniques and things that they taught me, it was good. But friend, the reason that they helped me is because all they did, they had textbook, but their main textbook was this Word of God that was given to us in order that we might understand it. It reveals that lost sinners are blind. The Bible says that in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ could shine unto them. If you're here today and you don't know you're saved, I guarantee you right now, if you're not careful, the old devil will get on your shoulder and he'll begin to slide some blinders over your eyes and say, that preacher's just crazy this morning talking about that. He don't know what he's talking about. I'm going to tell you, I know what I'm talking about because I know what the Word of God's talking about. And the fact is, the devil will blind your eyes to make you think that you're okay, but you're not okay unless you put your faith and trust in Him. Many are trapped in the darkness of sin. Many times they are lost. And they hold fast. The grip of sin holds fast upon them. I know sometimes people say, well, preacher, I would get saved. But I tell you, I just beginning to live my life. Well, I can just tell you this. You ought to get saved. But if you don't get saved, I just hope God gives you long enough that one day you can get saved. But again, you have no guarantee of tomorrow and what tomorrow holds. Every person who comes into this world, it's given a general revelation of God and His power. I believe today that we could find people that would somewhere say, I know nothing about God. I don't even know who He is. I've never heard His name. You might find them, and I believe you probably could. Or hopefully that would not be the case, but most people would. And this world in general talks about God, and they talk about the power of God. But they know nothing of the power of God or the strength of God or the help of God. And as a result, it's a head knowledge rather than a heart knowledge. Things everyone takes for granted, whether it be in nature, human conscience, or proof that God exists, if a person receives the light He has given and follows it, it will eventually lead him to a deeper revelation. I'm going to tell you, before I knew much about the Bible, the revelation of the gospel came to my heart and mind and helped me understand the truth that I needed to be born again. If they believe the gospel, they'll be saved. If they reject the gospel, if they reject the light is given, they're going to be left in their sins. And I tell you today, you say, well, I will get saved, but I can't live a perfect life. Neither can anybody in this building today live a perfect life. We all sin. But thank God today He forgives us of our sin when we do. However, to knowingly continue in our sin is a different story. And we must understand if we reject the light that God has given to us, we will continue to remain in the place we are for hundreds of years. And I remember this from time back, and I don't know if it's still true today, but understand, used to be the Roman Catholic Church, literally, it was unlawful for a person to have a Bible in their own language. Millions of people lived and died and probably heard a Bible that may have been read in Latin or something else. But friend, today, I encourage you to have a Bible. If you don't have one, you need to get one. You say, well, I'll just let you tell me what I need to know. I tell you, I'm human. I could tell you something wrong. Get your own Bible. Read the Word of God. Let God speak to your heart. It's not against the law in my book for you to have one. It's what God wants us to have if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. Every week, we come to our churches, and what do? We get to hear the truth of the Word of God. We need to see hear the Bible preached so that we can understand it. I hope you understand Him and hear me. A fellow at the funeral the other day came to me and he said, I told my wife, man, that man's talking fast. He got something to say. I just talk fast because I got a lot to say and I don't want to keep you here all day. But the guarantee of revelation, God, listen, if there's no other reason to believe in God The birth of a child. The springtime flowers that come up. The beauty. Somebody said, well, I worship nature. Well, you need to worship the creator of nature, not the nature itself, because it's all God that He's given to us. Number two, and I must move, a guaranteed reaction. Go back to verse number 40 again. And he says, and believeth. Think about those words, and believeth. When a person is confronted with the revelation of Jesus Christ, a choice concerning him will be made. In fact, if you're here today, you're going to make a choice when you leave here. Everybody's going to make a choice. Not all of you are lost. I don't know if any of you are not lost. But either, if you're lost today and you reject Christ, you don't allow the Word of God to speak to your heart and bring you to the altar so somebody can show you how to be saved, you walk out of here lost, you've rejected the Son of God. If God spoke to your heart about some need in your life as a Christian, you're going to make a choice today. Either you're going to believe it and do it, or either reject it and turn it away. When a person is confronted with the revelation of Jesus Christ, think about it. You remember Pontius Pilate? He made the choice. He asked the people, what should I do with Jesus? They said, crucify him, crucify him. And he made the wrong choice. The disciples made a choice. They made a choice to follow him. The rich young ruler made a choice. He came to Jesus and said, what must I do? Jesus said, you must give up everything you have. And of course, I don't believe today that that's the meaning that he's saying there, but he was wanting the man to be willing. In fact, you ought to be willing to give up everything you have for eternal salvation, although I don't believe God asked you to do that. But basically, he went through it and he said, and also that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Bible said the lawyer went away sad. You know why? Because he wasn't willing to give up the things of this world. He made a choice. He made the wrong choice. You remember the Ethiopian ruler that made a choice in Acts chapter 8, verse 30 to 37? There's only two possible choices concerning Jesus. A person may receive him, or a person may reject him. An individual can believe the Bible and believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sin. And as simply as it may seem, if you call upon his name and confess your sin, Jesus said, I'll save your soul. Well, a lot of people try to make it harder than it really is. You remember King Agrippa? He rejected the Lord. You know what he said? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There's nothing good about almost, because they almost never accomplish it. You ask your child to do something and they say, well, I was almost going to do it. Well, too late now. But yet, that's not even a comparison to when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and turn your back upon him. And so we must believe in Jesus. We must not reject him. We must make a choice. It happens every time we go to church. Every time a believer shares the gospel. It happens in places every day. Jesus is either believed unto salvation or he's rejected. People have all kinds of reasons for their choices to be made, but it comes down to two issues. Either Jesus is received or rejected. And friend, today I don't know your state, and I don't know what you're feeling, but if you feel today that you've never trusted Christ, and by the way, if you trust Christ, you'll know it. You'll remember it. It'll be evident in your life. You'll remember a time in your life when you prayed. You may not remember the date, you may not remember the hour, and you may not remember some of those things, but you'll remember there was a day when you bowed your head and ask Jesus to come into your heart and to give you eternal life. So today, people have all kinds of reasons, but only two issues, either receive or reject. And then thirdly, a guaranteed reception. Go back to verse 37. I like this. I like this. I really like it. He said in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, for the person that's sitting back there saying, preacher, you don't know how bad I am. I know how bad I used to be, but I'm thankful today by the grace of God that he reached down one day and picked me up. He established my goings. He set my feet upon a rock. And I'm thankful today for what he did in my life. And I'm thankful when I came for salvation, he didn't say, sorry, you're not good enough. I'm sorry, but you just can't come in. He said, whosoever will, let him come. And he said, I will in no wise cast out. The word cast out means to thrust away. It means contempt. Through our sins, they're an abomination. They're an affront to God. He's shocked by our sins. But our sins do not affect his love for us. A lost person desires to come to Jesus by faith. will find the door wide open. The Bible said, I've already quoted John 3:16, I won't quote it again, but Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Tell you today, I don't care what you did last night, last year, last month. I tell you, there's consequences to our sin now. And I'm not saying you get off scot-free, because you may owe a debt to society for something you've done. But when it comes to Jesus, just call upon his name and he'll receive you. The wonderful truth, God will turn no one away. Isaiah 42:3, a bruised reed shall not break, and a smoking flax shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. In Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You remember the thief on the cross? Now, if there was anybody that didn't deserve to be saved, well, I would say if there's anybody that didn't deserve to be saved, it'd be me. But I'm going to use the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross would have been the most likely that could have got saved. He had nothing to offer. He was a thief. He was dying for what he had done. But yet, he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. He didn't own nothing. He was stripped. He was on that cross. He had nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. And he said, Lord, remember me. And he says, I remember you. And you know what? Baptism is important. If a person is genuinely saved, they ought to want to be baptized to show people that they are saved and born again by the Spirit of God. But thank God, that's not what saves you. It's not the water and the baptism. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The thief didn't have time to go down to the creek. The Roman soldiers wouldn't have let him if he had. But Jesus said, that's all right. Today shall thou be with me in paradise. Remember Saul of Tarsus? He was so self-righteous and full of religion. He hated Jesus Christ and the gospel. Yet when he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, God saved the Saul of Tarsus and used him in a mighty way. Listen to what he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. God refuses no one that comes to Christ. Praise his holy name. When we came to him in faith, he didn't kick us out. He didn't kick us to the curb. I tell you, he says, come on in. There's room at the cross for you. And by the way, the cross is level at the foot of the cross, no matter where we are or where we stand, and he will not reject us. Number four, a guaranteed redemption. I want you to go back to verse number 40 again, if you would. And it speaks there in the last part of that, that all that which is given me, I should lose nothing. I'm in verse 40. And believeth on him, and may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Last Monday, we went to the graveside of Miss Gussie Nix. And the pastor that was helping with the service that did the graveside, he talked about it. And he talked about, he used 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he said, one day, this body, first of all, absent from the body is present with the Lord. When a person dies, they immediately go to heaven. But this old body stays here. This is just an old tabernacle that we used to live in. But one day, Jesus is coming back. And I tell you, when Jesus comes back, those that are saved, their bodies are going to rise up, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And the wonderful thing is, Jesus himself is coming back for us. He's not sending his angels. He's coming himself to receive us unto himself. Redemption refers to the price that he paid to bring about salvation. It speaks of the birth of Jesus, his incarnation, his sacrificial death, his substitutionary death, his resurrection of life. It speaks of salvation, to rescue one from harm or danger. In Romans 5:9, much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I tell you, you know what I'm rejoicing? I'm rejoicing about heaven. I get excited thinking about heaven. But sometimes I get excited thinking about not having to go to hell. Because I tell you, hell is going to be an awful, awful place. Friend, I'm not telling you a fairy tale. I'm not telling you something that is not true. It is literally real, where the fire is not quenched. And lost people will spend eternity there. It speaks of forgiveness. When God saves us, He forgives all our sins. I tell you, He said He'd scatter our sin as far as the east is from the west, never to remember against us anymore. He said He's going to bury them in the depths of the ocean. And I'm glad today that when He saved us, He forgave us. Boy, today, we as Christians need to take to that and understand the spirit of forgiveness to one another. And understand when the Lord saves us, He forgives us for all sins. Boy, that's so beyond what you could think of or imagine. But thank God for a forgiving spirit. And then it speaks of justification. Not going to dwell there, but just simply means declared righteous. He put His robe of righteousness upon me. It speaks of eternal life. Eternal life is not just a future promise. It's a precious reality. In John 10:10, the God who saves us is the God who keeps us forever. The word kept in 1 Peter 1:5 means to guard or to keep under lock and key. I like my PowerPoint that Cal did for me. And, you know, it shows a strong box with a lock and key. Friend, I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ holds that for you and I. He said in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not at all, by any means, in any case, in any place, any time, for any purpose, whether they be male or female, perpetually or eternally ever perish. I'm paraphrasing that, of course. But He's telling us that there's nothing that can separate us or take us away from the love of God. Amen. Speaks of a heavenly home, the idea of everlasting life. Paul says our new home is going to be far better. The preacher yesterday said, I was at a funeral yesterday for Bill Fallon, and preacher said, I wouldn't bring him back for nothing. Now, deep down inside, we'd want to bring our loved ones back. Oh, it'd be a foolish mistake, because they'd be mad. They'd be mad that they left heaven and came back here to this old sinful world. What a blessing it is to have such a perfect, eternal, and free redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed with the lock and keys, and Jesus holds the keys. And thank God today nothing can take it away. You remember what it was like when you came to Jesus? I remember I was young, and I backslid through my life. But when I was young, I got saved. I genuinely got saved. I was taken to church, went to Eastside School. It's now the Cultural Center. And I remember going back to school the next day, and we had them banisters. We used to walk up the steps, and I was hanging over the banister, telling all my classmates coming up the steps, I got saved last night. I'm going to get baptized. They looked at me a little funny, but didn't bother me. I tell you what a wonderful change in your life has been wrought when Jesus comes into your heart. And unfortunately, as I said, sin sure came into my life. And through chastisement and things that God had to do to get my attention, I'm grateful today that He brought me back to the place I am today. But I'm thankful today for what He did for me. Do you remember the peace and joy that you enjoyed when you first met Jesus? Oh, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you haven't experienced those things today, you need to come to Jesus. Can I remind you today, He'll receive you. He'll save you, not over time. Some people say, well, you know, you got to pray through. I tell you how you pray through. You just get sincere, come to the altar and confess your sin and ask God to forgive you of your sin, and to come into your heart and save you, and you can get up from here. In fact, probably on your way down, the Lord knowing what you do, He probably already saved you, but you can get up here knowing that you've been saved and born again by the Spirit of God. He will forgive you. We already talked about that. He'll change you, and He'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. But better than that, He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. Oh, I tell you today, what a good song, what a friend we have in Jesus. But I tell you today, peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the Father above. I'm thankful today for God's peace. And then lastly and quickly, we're going to deal here with the resurrection. Jesus died for our sins on the cross, but 3 days later, yes, He was buried, but 3 days later, He got up from the dead. He died to redeem us, but He rose again to everlasting life. Our Redeemer lives, and all those who are saved live in him also. For as Adam, all die. In other words, just so you understand that, wherefore is but one man sin into the world, that was Adam. You're not a sinner because what you did last night, although what you did last night could be sin. But we're sinners today because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. Wherefore, it's but one man sin entered in the world, death was sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Men have always wondered what lies beyond the door of death. I heard yesterday there was a guy, he was on death row, he'd killed a policeman, and they was going to execute him. And he had been in prison for a long time. And they gave him a stay of execution. They canceled it hours before the execution. And they gave him just a little bit more time. You say, why would he want more time? Because he probably wasn't sure what the future held. He probably didn't know when he drew that last breath if he was going to die and go to hell or if he was going to die and go to heaven. And I hope by grace of God some preacher or somebody got to him. Don't have to be a preacher, but anybody, just to tell him that Jesus saves even the worst if they'll put their faith and trust in him. So men wonder about it. Job, poor Job, he went through a lot. But he kind of had an inkling of what the future held. Here's what he said in Job 19, 25 through 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy the body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. I mentioned it a while ago, but that verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the dark angel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I got a little mixed up, but believe me, it says what it's supposed to. If I said something wrong, you'll figure it out, or I'll be glad to help you figure it out afterwards. But the body will be raised out of that grave. The bride sing a song called Resurrection Ground. And it's talking about being at the graveside of your child, a child. And while you're standing at the graveside of that child, Jesus sounds the trump. And we are called out of here. And you know, I think we'll get to see them coming out of that grave, because he said the dead in Christ shall rise first. So they got a little further to come, I know. But anyway, they're going to come by us. So I believe we're going to get to see them on the way up, but it ain't going to matter. I believe our eyes are going to be turned upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. I've just described what happens to a sinner that receives Jesus. I've just described what happens to a sinner that rejects Jesus. John 5, 28 and 29 says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. A lot of people have the idea that if you don't get saved, you just go to the grave. That's where you end up. Nothing else. But ultimately, everybody has eternal life. There's either eternal life in hell, separated from God, or there's eternal life in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but it breaks my heart to know that family and friends may reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and die in their sins, go to hell. Friend, we're here this morning. We're not trying to make you do something that you don't want to do, because it wouldn't be of any good if you did it because you didn't want to. But we're here today because we love you. The whole reason for this church is when we sing that invitation for to see people come forward and say, I'm lost, or I'm saved and I need prayer, or whatever it might be. But God stands ready for you and I today to do what needs to be done. You ever heard the phrase, some people, you know, they said, there's only two things today that sure is death and taxes, right? You're going to die, and as long as we live, I guess we're going to pay taxes. Some people might cheat death and go to heaven in the rapture. In other words, they may not ever die. That's what I'm praying for. I don't want to go through the funeral home. I'd just soon leave from here. I'd be ready to go today if he came. So some may cheat death and be caught up in the rapture. Some may slide by but not paying their taxes. It'll catch up with you, though, if the Lord don't come back before then. But all people that are dying will meet God someday. And when you do, be sure you do so with the guarantees active in your life. What's active in your life? Eternal life, because I got saved. Or rejection, and I'm going to spend eternity without Christ forever. Friend, I don't know. God laid this on my heart. The majority of the time, I don't feel we have very many lost people here, and I don't know what the status is today. But I'm going to tell you, and I believe with all my heart, God laid this message on my heart to preach today. And perhaps there's somebody here that would put aside their pride and just come forward and say, "Preacher, I'm not worried about what anybody thinks. I want to know Jesus." And I hope you could say, "I saw him this morning. Not from me, but you saw him through the Word of God. You said, I want to receive him." And if you come, it won't take but just a few minutes for somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be born again. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved."